Hello everyone, welcome to the Game Engineering Podcast. Today I am joined by Adriana and Eleonor, two sisters working on Echo of the Waves, a beautiful, hand-painted, relaxing game. This conversation features only audio. For the video, I will be looping back the gameplay from their current demo. If you're listening to this, make sure to check out the video version of the episode, be either on Spotify or YouTube, because the game looks gorgeous. And now, on to the show. Tell me a little bit about yourself and about the game, about Echo of the Waves.
Yes, so hi, I'm Adriana, and with Eleonor, we're two sisters. We've been working on the game Echo of the Waves for approximately close to 1 year now. We're coming from Netherlands, but live in Switzerland. I'm in Geneva, and Eleonor is in Zurich. I come from the world of academia and neuroscience. So I did some neuroscience studies before working in video games industry. And since 2019, I decided to put on the side the career in academia to really focus on video games. So I'm self-taught in programming. I learned with some classes on Udemy. I really recommend it. It taught me all the basics, and from that I began like working on my own on small projects. And this small project actually ended up being Echo of the Waves like a few years later, but it began as a self-interest for video games and really on my own. And I don't know if Eleonor, you want to?
Yes, so hello, I'm Eleonor. And on my side, I have a background in art history and narrative environment design. And I also work in publishing. I was drawing since a long time, but on the side, more for myself or more like as a hobby. But then I realized I wanted to make it a bit more as my main profession. And with Adriana, we wanted to do a game together for a while, and so we said, "Okay, let's try." and it looked like it worked, that I could do the drawing and Adriana the programming, and yeah, that's how it started, slowly taking shape. Yeah.
Is it difficult to work as sisters? Like, is it? Because you carry back like a long history of both good and bad moments just as being sisters. It's like, is it annoying, for example, if like you think it's a cool idea and your sister is like, no, we don't want to do that?
Actually, no, like mostly it doesn't mean that we agree on everything, but mostly it's going very well. So we really share the same, the same vision for the game. So that really helps. Probably we have a lot of interest in common also. And it really helps the fact that we have the same history, the same education, etc., the same inspirations for the game. It really helps to be on the same page most of the time. I will say the main differences is that I am much more of a gamer than Eleonor. So this is the thing where sometimes I have a different experience because I have more experience in gaming than her. But it's also very interesting to have her approach with less experience in gaming, just to because it's also an audience that we are aiming for, like a maybe more casual audience. And so it's very interesting to have also her point of view. And yeah. I don't think we have too many conflicts in general. Like sometimes it happens in terms of schedule or things like that, but that could happen with anyone really. So
in a way, maybe sometimes it saves time because we can say things to each other in a very honest way.
So, ah, yes, that's true.
So there's no...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know the limits of each other in terms of like we can be very honest, and it's not gonna affect our relationship. While with some coworkers or even sometimes friends, you have to be a bit more careful. You don't know how things are gonna be taken if you don't like what they do or something, and so this can be a problem. Yeah.
when you're working solo on the game, the communication is not happening. But if you're working more than one person, you need to like have this If you have this relationship where you can say honest things to each other, like about things, it's much better for the project in the long term.
Exactly, yeah.
And let's do an overview of Echo of the West. By the way, like for the video, for all of the viewers, you will be able to see, if you're watching on the video version, I will loop the gameplay for the demo of Echo of the West, so you can see the things that we're talking about. And let's do your version of the like an overview of what Echo of the West is currently.
Yes. So currently it's a short adventure exploration and also puzzle game that sets place in an oceanic archipelago. It's an imaginary place, and we imagine it a little bit between the sea and the earth, like you have some fish flying over the ground and a lot of corals elements. So it's an imaginary place that is coming from mostly Eleanor's imagination, I will say, visually. And it's gonna be a pretty short game. We don't want it to make it too long, so probably between 3 and 5 hours, single player. And the characteristic is that it's inspired by watercolor paintings, so we try to recreate the watercolor aesthetic with a lot of transparency, a lot of layers that merge into each other's. And in terms of mechanics, because it's a 2.5D game, we use the different layers of the games in the gameplay. And one of the main mechanics is that you can rotate the camera, and because of the perspective between the different layers, you can align different elements of the layers to create shapes. And those shapes are going to help you in the gameplay to progress. For example, they can help you to pass from one layer to another to create some kind of doors, or you can create very big shapes by zooming out and aligning different pieces of the environment. So that's the idea. And also, it's a game where you can explore different islands. So you have a little boat and you can basically explore the islands. And the main story is going to focus around that, about this exploration of this imaginary place. And something that I didn't mention also, that you can play music, lots of things. How do you say, a
A seashell, a
seashell
big seashell, yeah, like an
that you can,
instrument, yeah, music instrument,
right,
yeah.
that you can use to play music. And this is a theme that we wanted to explore also, this relationship between nature and music.
Yeah, like we were also thinking where the ideas came from just before we discussed, and actually it was a long process, and the idea was there since maybe 3 or 4 years already, and we just had in mind, like, we wanted to do an exploration game with a guy, Zephyr, who is a bit poetic and also a bit mysterious, and traveling with his cat. And going from the idea initially was to go from one planet to another, and each planet will have a very different environment, visually and with NPCs and stuff like this. And slowly, like, we realized actually it made more sense for us to have something based on the sea and the islands, we put the cat idea on the side also for the moment because it was too many elements. But yeah, slowly the idea evolved towards something a bit more peaceful and a bit more relaxing, and the music took a big part. Adriana is also playing piano, and it made sense to add the music element also at the center of the game, and yeah.
I didn't know that you play piano also. The moment when I see, like, I've seen the game on the EPFL indie game event for the first time, and I really like the games that try something new and unique, and I'm like, my type of game is exactly what you're trying to make. So, like, a short game about a really cool idea, and imagine me walking there. There's like a TV or like a monitor that streams all the games, and you can see that there's this person walking in the layers in the island, And it's like, okay, why is everything so wobbly? Because there are so many layers for the art, right? And then at some point there's like a line. I didn't even know what's happening, but there's like a line that draws and connects two different layers. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because the one layer is there and the other layer is, oh, and then the guy hopped over to the other layer. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so cool to make. Just focus on this and make the game about it. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I really like also that your game studio is called Oneira Games, so related to dreams. And all this game, as you can see, it's like such a like weird mystical dreamlike experience. It's so nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Our mother is Greek, so the word Onera is in Greek. It means dreams, and yeah, I think also the islands and connection to nature also come from our Greek background. It's quite also central to the game, and this idea of jumping from one layer to the other, and yeah, suddenly like seeing things in the nature connect from different layers. It was really. Yeah, what we wanted to have, something a bit magical, like, oh, suddenly you see something, like you see a shape in the clouds or something, this feeling.
Yeah.
And you can imagine or invent things on your own as well. And we want to play as well with the creativity of the player and surprise the player, but also, yeah, play with imagination, yeah.
And Echo of the Waves is currently very calming and relaxing. I am a technical person, like programming focused, and I have no idea how to make games relaxing or make games exciting. I can know how to make them work, but I don't know what goes into making them specifically that. And I was wondering, like, is it a byproduct? Is it like a conscious choice that you made to make this like relaxing and like calming? How does it work out?
Can I?
Yeah.
It's like at the beginning, like Eleanor was saying, the main idea of the game was a bit different. It was set in space, and believe it or not, but we actually had some space shooting, and we had to be able to reach the planet. And so we already had the ideas of the different layers and jumping from one layer to another, but we also had all this side stuff with fights and monsters and etc. And because I cannot draw at all, I was asking Eleonore to make some drawings, and first it was just about the planet, like just the shape of the round planet. And slowly I asked her, okay, can you do also this little plant element or this little ground? And I realized that her art style doesn't match at all the vibes that I was going for with the space fight and stuff, because her style is much more poetic. And yeah, there was a huge mismatch between the gameplay and the art style. And because I like her art style so much and wanted to emphasize, to highlight it, I thought that it was better to go completely into the art style, to like let it drive the gameplay rather than the opposite. And so we decided to explore really how we can emphasize the art as much as possible. And from that, we kind of twisted the gameplay as much as needed so that it fits the experience and it reflects the art, the peacefulness of the art and of watercolor in general. So yeah, that's, I would say, so it's a byproduct, but that has been where we put a lot of attention so that we are sure that the whole experience is kind of a cohesive experience and there are no mismatch, hopefully not too many mismatch.
And I think we both liked in watercolors we both liked this kind of poetic aspect and dreamy aspect as well, as we said, and this creates like this kind of relaxing feeling. And also with watercolors, when you paint it for real, you can really play with textures. You can make it very light, but you can also make it stronger. You can see the grain of the paper. You can see the brush strokes. So it's very very creative as a texture, and we also play with this in the game, like trying to render this kind of feeling. And I think this also adds to the relaxing aspect, like, yeah, mm-hmm. like diving into textures and yeah, transparencies and colors, yeah.
And how do you do technically the how do you think when you are creating layers, do you first try to paint the level like fully and then convert it to different layers? Like, how do you come up with how the level would look like?
So first we start with a concept design, like concept drawing, and then we try a few things in Unity directly. So we place the objects, and then very often we realize, oh, it doesn't work. because visually you have something that doesn't work, because you have to think in depth, which is obviously not the same as just on a flat paper. So then we always get surprises with the perspective. So we work then a lot in Unity. I would say we construct the level much more in Unity directly than on paper. And we work with small assets. So because at first we also thought maybe we should really draw a whole drawing and then put it in Unity. And I think that's what Dordogne did. I don't know if you know the game Dordogne. It's all watercolor and they mix it with 3D. And so we hesitated to do something like this, but it's also very time consuming and it's not very flexible. So then we thought it works better because we are also a small team and we are experimenting a lot to work with small assets that we can really place and move from one place to the other or make bigger or smaller, etc. So yeah, I would say then we work much more in Unity and construct the level step by, slowly, but always with an idea we have in mind in the beginning, but then we adapt it, and also we adapt with the gameplay that it's fun or there is the puzzle challenge also in mind, and yeah, this kind of thing, and exploration as well, that it's also fun for the player to move around, and yeah.
After working with these, do you see differently 2D surfaces? Because like, if you start drawing them, and then map them into 3D and like add this depth in Unity, then when you go out and go back to the 2D drawings, do you see now them differently? Because of, like, you wonder what would happen if you would move with your head here with the camera inside the engine.
It's more that I think now with more, the more the experience come, like I will think more. If I draw the 2D, then I will think more, oh, how will it look when it's in 3D and what is going to be behind this object, or yeah. So I have more in mind the 3D aspect when I think about the concept design, but I think then the 2D drawing obviously are still very different from the what we have in the end in the game, but we try to render it in the game as much as they are in the 2D paintings, yeah.
What do you think Echo of the Ways would become in terms of like the genre of the game? Like, would it be more focused on the puzzles? Would it be more focused on like exploration? Where would be the emphasis?
Yeah. To be honest, this is something we are still exploring. So I was myself surprised that it was taking the path of the puzzle genre, because this is definitely not something that I was going for consciously. I wanted something very atmospheric and something very intuitive. And I think a lot of the surprise came from the fact that these puzzles were not so easy to solve, and so it becomes a puzzle, because what I thought was maybe intuitive shapes or stuff like that becomes something that people have to spend a few minutes to look at and to look for, etc. And so it makes it a puzzle, but At the beginning, it was more an exploration, atmospheric game with a tiny bit of story. And I think it's lately now going for the puzzle genre. I think we have to embrace that. But I really want to balance it carefully with exploration and more story, because I don't want it to be something where you go from island to island. On each island, you have a puzzle to solve, and then you go to the next island. Like, that would be too simplistic or too... Also very challenging, because it's very, very difficult to make those puzzles. So I think for our own sake, it's better to incorporate other elements that are a bit easier to do, like exploration and story, that come a bit more naturally, and to balance the puzzle with that.
I like this approach. When you start from one place, you experiment, and then you realize, okay, now it's a different game. People think it's a puzzle. Let's embrace it and move forward with it. It's a nice way of helping your game design itself in a way.
Yeah. And it's often you have something in your mind and it doesn't go exactly as you plan when you put it on Unity, and especially when you make it play tested, then it's even another step, like even more different. So going from what you have in mind as an experience to how it's done in Unity and what you can do with the limitations you have, and then how it's perceived by other people, there are three different things. So have to merge all those different things together, like always keeping in mind the experience we want. That's like the key things we want the player to experience. Also knowing that the player comes with their own expectations and their own experience, so they are gonna approach it and they're gonna have their own their own expectations about what the game should be, and we have to be careful to keep that into account too, because sometimes you have a very clear idea of what a game is, and then you play it and you are surprised. Can be good, can be bad, but it's generally risky. So it has to, you have to be conscious about what people expect from the game. And for example, many people approach the game thinking it's going to be a very, very cozy and wholesome experience, and then they get a bit surprised by the puzzles. Like they get a bit, it's more challenging than they thought. And this is something we have to be careful about, not to have people frustrated because it doesn't match what they wanted.
Yeah. Managing expectations. Like at some point I thought like, why people care so much about this like tagline, like one line describing the game, for example, Steam. And then like after when I got more like mature, I realized, oh, like if I'm expecting, like imagine Echo of the Ways, somebody like hardcore puzzle solver comes here and would be, for example, annoyed or like bored by the puzzles, and on the same hand, the other person expecting, like you said, cozy feeling can come and see the puzzles are for example, a bit too much. So it really makes sense to properly, like accurately describe what's the experience of this game.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's something we can do via the gameplay also, like by putting some puzzles that are a bit more difficult, to put them as facultative on side quests or side islands that you don't need to solve to progress. And that will be probably the approach that we're gonna use.
How do you design a puzzle in which you need to align the layers, also keeping in mind that if there is a puzzle somewhere in the other place in the same level, they still need to match. So like if after adding each puzzle, you get more and more constraints about like what you can do with the layers. How do you do that?
It's the design of the puzzle is really the most challenging part, I think, of the whole design of the game. I think usually we get together with Eleanor and with the other friends that are helping us for the design, and we look at all the elements, that all the assets that we have visually for our level, and we make a big brainstorming session about all the way that we could use those assets in puzzles, like to create different shapes, especially for the portals, for the big doors. And then basically we see how we can arrange those shapes in ways that look not too artificial, but at the same time that can look recognizable. And we experiment. And a lot of time we have to iterate in Unity and we realize it doesn't look good, and we we tweak the elements, the place, the distance, the depth, I mean, and yeah, it never works in the first time, because usually it's too easy. Like when we put it first, it becomes too obvious, because we cannot move the camera that much. Like the player cannot rotate that much the camera. So yeah, it's very, very tricky to have the right balance of difficulty and to make it look not too obvious and at the same time not too complicated.
Yeah, and again, it's never it never works in one shot. Like, yeah. We have to do a lot of iterations and play testing and see if people get it, if you need more cues or just the camera and everything, like, mm-hmm. You can guide but still keeping some challenge a lot of iterations.
Yeah, I think that's underappreciated part of making games, that like a lot of it is and will be like a trial and error, right? Like just hard and often annoying work of just doing this all over again and again and again, just trying different things. A lot of experiments goes into it to create both the levels or find new ideas, and it's really nice. Looking at it, you need to see this depth of experimentation that went into the game. It's not like just you come up with an idea, you do it and it works. It just, you need to spend some time actively working on figuring out all of this stuff.
Yes. And you never know, as a designer, I think you never know when to stop experimenting, and like you never know what's gonna work or not. Sometimes we have ideas on paper and they seem amazing, and then you know, like you wake up in the night, you have an idea, yeah, I know how to solve that, and then the next day you try it and no one understands, or it just doesn't work, and there are so many things that come from the paper that don't replicate in the game, like in the actual experience. It's very, very difficult to know when the puzzle is good enough. And yes, things that may seem obvious at some point are definitely not until they are in the game, you know, like for example, this idea of the portals, that you can merge two parts of the portal in one big thing. This actually appeared quite late in the game. Like for a long time, we had shapes that were already making the full door, and then you just had to align them with another full door in another layer. And it took like a few months of experimentation until we thought, okay, maybe it's not that fun. Maybe we should cut them in two, and then you have to find the other part. And this was, it seems very simple, but we didn't think about it immediately. These kind of things.
Do you intend to play the game with a controller or mouse or both?
Currently, both are okay, and I usually play with a controller, so I test the game with a controller. But both are we are aiming for both, because hopefully we will release the game on both consoles and PC and Mac. So, yeah.
The core mechanic that I've seen is this alignment of layers, and technically speaking, do you need to wait for the proper camera rotation for the layers, or do you have like a different algorithm to check whether the character is able to cross the layers or use this puzzle? How do you do that technically?
So it's a combination of two things. First, we need the player to be in the correct to be around the puzzle, like to be at a distance that is close enough from the puzzle. So you cannot solve a puzzle that is like very far from you as a player. And the other thing is we check the camera. So we check the angle between the alignment between the camera and the first point like of the portal that we want to align, and then the camera and the other point that we want to align, and then we check the angle between those two pictures basically. And if it's like we play with the threshold quite a bit, so at the beginning we had a very, very tiny threshold where you had to be exactly matching the things, and the more we play test, the more we increase this threshold, because yeah, we don't want the player to be frustrated because he's not aligned exactly at the correct point. So
Do you see in the future adding puzzles with more than two pieces?
So that's something that we played with. And the one problem that happens is that actually, if you align two, then the third one is already aligned also. So by definition, if you align two, like the other ones is gonna be already kind of in shape. Yeah. Mm. So we had that in mind, but it was not so much fun. I still think we will, because for example, for the turtle puzzle, like we have the island and then we have the kind of shape of the plant and then the sun, so it can have different elements, but by experimenting a bit, we found out that two elements is usually enough to create a puzzle, and then if you add more, it's more like for the visual aspect more than for the challenge aspect.
I like it about the games that not only do you appreciate the algebra that you've studied in school when you were a kid, but also it teaches you like about fundamentals that you don't really use on a daily basis. Okay, so if I want to align this layer with this layer, how can I translate this to the like mathematical concept where it will allow me to check this? Like, you need to go outside and like think, okay, so how the world is actually structured? Like, how would I do it in the like a really mathematical way, like a physical way?
Problem solving part is really fun in the programming aspect. Yeah.
How do you see music playing part in the Echo of the Waste?
So far, what we had was some kind of, what we want to have is something like a synesthetic experience, kind of where you merge the sound and the visual effect of the sound together. So it's a way for Zephyr, for the main character, it's a way of communicating. It's music. He doesn't speak per se. He really uses his instrument to communicate with nature. And the way that he does that is by playing this instrument that he has with him. And in the future, we may integrate more ways to interact with nature, like maybe more melodies. You find maybe some more ways to interact, or maybe different melodies have different effects on different patterns, different shapes in nature. But we want to keep it as intuitive as possible, in the sense that so far I think it's more interesting for the player, is more relaxing if they use only one button and one melody, like even if the melody sounds different, but it's basically one game element. And that this will have different effects rather than to have many, many different type of melodies on different game elements. So yeah, I don't know if this answers your question.
Yeah, you can imagine that since the game is in early stages, you can do a lot. Like, you can select out of many options what to do in the future. And music can be a big part of it, right? Like switching different melodies or different effects for different melodies. Or it can be just like this mechanic, one mechanic to allow you to draw shapes and then do more with the shapes. So
maybe something that we want to add that we didn't have time to put in the demo really is that when you play, we want to have other effects than just on the main puzzle elements. But we would like you to play music and that to affect small things in nature, like to trigger small animations or to have like more tiny creatures that react to it. And that I think is something we will definitely go for if we have the time to do it, because that will add a lot to the immersion of the player. And we want the player to be able to play the music whenever they want, so it's not just when they solve the puzzle, but also that means it has to have some kind of effect, otherwise it's a bit, you get bored after 2 seconds of doing that. So it needs to have some effect. And I think it could add a lot to the charm of the game if you see that when you play, small animals react and the plants react, or some small effects like this, so that you have fun just with this mechanic, even if it's not a main mechanic for the puzzles.
Yeah, and it adds to the exploration also, like the exploration part, where you can, even though it's not like a core mechanic or gameplay, you can see what will happen, what will change in the environment. I was also wondering, because you mentioned that the art direction, it came from let's say, I don't know yours art style. I don't have art style mindset, so I don't know how you do that, how you come up with the things that will look nice for the given, let's say, context. So here you're saying it's a watercolor drawings, but what are, let's say, the principles that guide you when you create assets for the game? What do you think about when you do that?
I think first there is a big part of inspiration. Like personally, I always loved Japanese drawing, not necessarily manga, but really more like ancient paintings, and very often there is like this ink aspect also in Chinese painting, like this ink aspect and very light colors that are washed, so with a lot of water, and then landscapes that blend into the paper. So a lot of white space or like empty space around the drawing. This is also something I like, and that we both liked, and that we wanted to keep in the game. So you will see a lot of white paper around the landscape as well. So yeah, there is an inspiration part, and then there is my own personal way of drawing. Like each artist has their preferences for tools, different tools, and personally I like also like black pen and pencil and just watercolor pencils as well, and I really like the water element to add this. There are other techniques which are much more like blend with oils or are a bit more stiff in the result. And with watercolor, it's something, yeah, like I said, you can play a lot with it. So this is something I like. And yeah, and I think then it's just how you construct a visual. It's more about taking the time to dream a bit and imagine something in your mind, and then try to put it on paper. And very often it doesn't end up exactly how I had it in mind, but you can again play with this, and sometimes mistakes can result also in nice things, so it's again a lot of experimentation, I think, and in the end try to construct something that works for the game, and that is easily understood, because there is a bit of abstraction, but still you want people to, in a game you need the player to understand exactly what he's looking at, and otherwise it's frustrating. So yeah, sometimes I also have to adapt and redraw so that it's more understandable, more readable, and redo the lines or remove a line because then you have too many lines. So we are also working on this, and that the symbols, the puzzles come out as well quite clearly, but not too obviously. So, yeah.
And if I may add a bit also, I will say that we iterated a lot on the art direction. So the very first art direction that we had was way too crowded. So it was basically, instead of having, like we have right now, we usually have only two layers at the maximum at the same time in the field of view of the player. At the time, we had always three layers, and they were all full of elements. So it was very, very, very crowded visually. And we had lost this kind of, as Eleanor was saying, the white aspect, the empty space of the watercolor, which is actually the signature of the watercolor, is like this empty space all over. And we had lost that, so it took us some time to find it back. We also explored another direction where we had more like a cut and how will you say, like when you cut paper and then you stick it, you know, like in like
pop-up books,
pop-up books, something where you see clearly the fact that, a bit like Paper Mario, you know, like you see the outline that were cut in paper, and so we tried something like that, and it was okay, but also again it was not too poetic, it was very it was a bit more
comical,
it was not evoking the same kind of emotion that we wanted to. And we really had a kind of insight at some point with Eleanor. We, a bit, I guess, by chance, I don't know, we stumbled in Unity in this really nice effect where we had half of the screen was still white and the other half was having a small island and the water. And the asymmetry of the two things was really striking and we're, okay, this is what we want. Mm-hmm. And now in every island, we try to keep this white space. So to remind the player that you are in a watercolor, basically. Mm-hmm.
Nice. And again, like trial and error, a lot of experimentation. I am the person who's like really optimized and like I want to optimize things. Like I can't imagine how much effort and time it takes and like to try and like not to be like I can imagine myself just like going crazy trying to like select everything and just go with it. And like I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
And I think that was good. We had some time for the pre-production mm-hmm. part as well. Right. Like we also were lucky to receive funds to take the time to experiment because sometimes some studios don't have this time. And pre-production is really good for that. If you can take the time to really try different things, that helps. Yeah, but it can be frustrating too, because sometimes you don't know where you are going. So it's also, you have to accept that sometimes, it won't work as well. So
also it's like for the design, you never know if you are done or not. Like, often you can be frustrated with what you have, but often also you are very happy and then 2 months later you realize that it was actually not that good or it can be improved much more, but you don't know that at the moment. You know, you're just happy to make a good step forward and you have no idea how much more work there is to make it even better. And to be honest, what we have is probably not the latest iteration. Like we probably will improve it more. And at the conferences, we have some feedback of people who are very experienced in as art directors, and they tell us, this you can improve, these mm-hmm. lines, they don't match, these things, these textures. So there are many things we can still work on, if we have the time, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess at some point, when you'll be like, okay, we have to set some dates, then like you won't be able to make everything that you want into the game. You'll need to probably prioritize and cut on some of the things, right? But it's really nice to take your time and to have the ability to take the time in the pre-production, as you mentioned, and just like not be focused on the outcome, not try to like cut down on the time that you're experimenting, but like let the experiments drive the design and figure out ways to do how things should look like, things like that. I really like also that you currently have this structured into islands, and it both helps with the game design aspects that all of the layers they need to match, but within this island, and you can go to another island and you have like a new thing. And for the art in general, I guess you can try different things, so that if there are two things that you like from the, let's say, looks perspective, like art perspective, you can try to keep them both on the separate islands, right? So that they won't, they're not interfering with each other, but they exist as two separate pieces.
And that's something that we actually did already, because the demo where you have three different islands, where it was supposed to be one big island at first, and then we realized it was a mistake. It was better to cut it in tiny islands with each of them their identity, rather than to try to put all of it in the same island. So yeah.
What are you most excited about of Echo of the Waves on the development?
To see the final result.
We know it's going to happen at some point, but it is difficult to imagine. I think one thing that I am excited also is about the narrative. It's something we are working on right now. It's something we don't have too much in the demo and we want to improve on. And so how to convey this emotion of reading a poem more than a story into this game. So we want to have the full experience to be as poetic as possible. And I am excited to see how it's gonna be conveyed. So I'm very excited to brainstorm about those ideas and convey this slightly abstract poetic impression that you don't find too often in games. So it's gonna be an interesting process, very exciting process, I think.
The demo is already an amazing invitation for all the things that can happen in the future. So like, I just can't wait to see the things. For example, like I can imagine collecting like pieces of poem throughout the game, and then like it will, as like just like the layers line up throughout the gameplay, the poem lines up in the final version. Like it's such an amazing starting point, and like I really like the demo, current version.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks a lot.
We hopefully will improve on it before making it public on Steam. But we at some point it's gonna be out, and probably in a slightly different version. But yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah.
And for us, the most gratifying thing is to see when people enjoy playing it, and when they finish the demo, we are like, yes. That's already a challenge to keep people's attention for like 5 minutes. You know, it's a competitive world, so this is already so nice, and especially then when people enjoyed it, it's even better. So, yeah.
Oh, you mentioned Steam. I think it's also a good place to mention what to do to follow your development, to be updated, where people can sign up or to see what to do to stay on top.
Yes. So there is a Steam page, so you can already wishlist the game, and then we are on the social media. We're on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, and very soon we're gonna have a Discord server also. That's gonna be the way to really gather the community and take the feedback from the community. So,
and we also have a website, www.oniragames.com, and you can subscribe to the newsletter as well.
I will say where we keep the most information so far is the Twitter account, probably, if you want to have them weekly at least updates.
Yeah, I put all of the links also in the description, so that everybody can click it easily and sign up for the newsletter, people. It's an amazing game. Would you like to say anything on top of that?
No, but thank you so much for your invitation and for this time. It was really, really nice experience.
Yes.
And I hope that we conveyed it's always difficult to know, because we are so much into the game, we don't know if any of what we said is clear or not, because
or
people don't have the context
for you.
But yeah, it's really, yeah, it was really pleasant from our side.
Yeah, and it's always really cool also to think in retrospect about what we are doing. It's mm-hmm. also useful for us. Mm-hmm. So, and we hope the listeners enjoy.
If you're just listening to this, go watch the video, either on Spotify or YouTube, that will have the sneak peek of the demo, how the game will look like. If you're not convinced by then, I don't know what will convince you, because it's amazing. Like, it's amazing. Really. Okay. Thank you so much, then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.